Good afternoon, everybody. Robin Ayoub here from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome for another recording. Today, with this particular recording, episode number 268.
Oh, wow.
And thanks for joining me on this journey. I really appreciate your time. We have a very interesting conversation coming up here on this dialogue with my guest of honor, but we'll get to that in a second. First, I have a message for one of my avid listener, and his name is Stefan Langyel, and hopefully, Stefan, I pronounced your last name correctly. I know that's a Hungarian last name. And Stefan is joining us always, listens to us on his treadmill from the Barcelona area in Spain. And I really appreciate that. And last time I was exchanging messages, I didn't know Stefan before, but he sent me a message on LinkedIn telling me that he listens to the channel on his treadmill. And recently his treadmill broke down. And now we're looking for a repair person for that treadmill in Barcelona. If anybody is listening to this and like to help in repairing a treadmill in Barcelona, please let me know. Alternatively, we can regain our composure here and go back into the conversation with our guest of honor, which we are going to be addressing today. And a very, very interesting conversation. Another Torontonian who migrated south looking for a better weather. And Corey Blumenfield is the CEO and founder of a company called Lumoso. Is a company where we're going to get to know the company in a bit. But more importantly, on the individual who behind the company, five companies, two exits, nearly $5 million raised, and a mission to give 1 million business owners their time back. Today's episode is really about a question I've been contemplating with, and it's been sitting with me after 30 years in the corporate world. What does it actually cost for us as business people when the calendar runs our life versus us running our own calendars, versus us running our own time? And my guest has built a company called Lumoso, as we mentioned earlier, and specifically to answer that question. And the way he's doing it is by matching business owners with the virtual assistants that is right for them based on what they actually do, based on their work, not just to fulfill tasks, what they need to do now. So it's something that every founder right now is and every business person with the demand on our time, with the demand on what we want to do. It's really getting really tricky with all of us schedules, picking the right conversation, putting in the right time that you want to put in your calendar. It's becoming very, very important. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Corey Blumenfield to the conversation. Welcome to the conversation, Corey, and good to have you with me.
Thanks for having me, Robin. Excited to be here and to chat with your fans from all over the world. I was just in Portugal, so not too far from Barcelona. I stopped over in Madrid for a layover. I don't know if that counts, but excited to have a conversation and dive deep into this because I spend every single day thinking about what work, should I not be doing? How do I get my time back? And I think about this for other business owners, right? We can't do everything. To really live a good life, we can't be doing everything. And we do need to take control of our time, even though it's maybe not possible all the time. And we can dive into that as well. Like sometimes
absolutely.
You just have to put in the work. And 100%. It is a way of life.
Now, everybody on this channel get the easy question first, Corey. So the first question is the story question. what is your story?
Questions.
What got you to where you are?
Where do I begin? I'll give you try to make it 2 minutes. I grew up, my parents wanted me to be a doctor. My family wanted to be a doctor. There was nothing else that I was going to be. My grandfather was a doctor. My aunt was a doctor. Everything up until university, I went to the University of, Laurier University, which is in Canada, representing. Everything up until then was you're a doctor. Entered a pre-med program, prepare you for the MCATs, all that stuff. And, my last year, things were going on in my personal life. Before that, I'd started stuff, right? In the summers, as a kid, I was washing cars. In the fall, I was raking leaves. In the winter, I was shoveling snow. I was doing things entrepreneurial. My last 2 years of school, I started a business. That was my first business, but I didn't consider it a business. We were repairing driveways. There's a chance because you're in Toronto, I could have stopped by your house and asked you to repair your driveway, right? But that wasn't a business.
Maybe you didn't. I didn't know, right, Corey?
Maybe, and I learned how to do that by watching videos online. So, in my mind, I've always been an entrepreneur. I just didn't know it. last year of school comes around, stuff's going on in my life, and I took a course, Entrepreneurship for Science Students. I just thought it was going to be an easy course, you know, like get the credit. You needed credits to get into med school, so take the credit. I fell in love with it. My friend was starting a business at the time. I had this amazing professor who ran a business, sold his company, and you know, he was like to me, "Corey, you seem so passionate about this stuff. You know, you can build businesses and you can make impact. You can add a lot of value in this world. Like, you can actually make a change in the healthcare system." I was like, well, everyone around me was telling me I had to be a doctor first. I needed that piece of paper, and then maybe I could make a difference. Because I used to come home with all these crazy ideas and say, well, what if we could do this? And it was all healthcare related. So anyways, that happened. I made a choice at that point. I was like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I can't be in school for another 10 years. I'm struggling. Like, it doesn't come natural to me. I can work hard. I have to work harder than everyone else, but this isn't my easy. So I did that. I signed up for a master's to buy some more time because I needed a team, found my team. And then, yeah, that led me down the long journey of just really starting businesses. You know, my first business was working with hospitals and digitizing all of the education you leave a hospital with. Exited that after 6 years. I called that my MBA because I knew nothing about business. From there, I built another business, Caribou. We became experts in U.S. health insurance and financial planning. I'm from Canada. I know the Canadian healthcare system, but all the information was available online, and we learned how to be the experts and really help guide people, you know, with the number one cost in retirement, which leads to bankruptcy, which was your healthcare cost. So we built that. I exited that. And then at that point, I was trying to figure out, what am I doing next? And the one thing I always wanted to do was put myself out there more. I felt like that was the missing piece. I need to be on more podcasts. I need to be creating content. And I just was always scared to do it. So I started creating content and I loved it. It wasn't good at first, but I started writing on LinkedIn. And at that time, I also had taken on a contract position and that was full time. So I needed to dedicate my time to that. So I was like, I need a virtual assistant if I'm going to keep building my personal brand. So I brought on a virtual assistant and it just, we were thriving. We really connected, you know, I made sure they had all the resources they needed to be successful. And it started opening up conversations with other creators on the platform. And I kept hearing the same story. I'm struggling. I can't find a virtual assistant. I've gone through 5 of them. They're just not the right fit. You know, there's cultural differences, all of these things. And to me, there were none of those issues. And I had multiple virtual assistants at that point. So I was like, well, you know, I have this process in place. I'm documenting, I'm managing them like this. And folks were like, can you do that for me? And that's, you know, as an entrepreneur, that's when the light bulb goes off. Would you pay for this? And yeah, I'll pay for this. So I went to my virtual assistant and said, hey, listen, I think I can make you some extra cash. Do you, your family want to do this? She said, yep. And the rest is history. And we've been doing this for 1.5 years now. We have clients all over the world. And we were never expecting this. This was supposed to be like a little side hustle. And now we're supporting, I think we have well over 80 virtual assistants in the talent pool. So yeah, I was supposed to be a doctor in my parents' mind, probably not my mind. And now I'm an entrepreneur. And I guess they've accepted
that. How's your medical career going?
You know, at least I got to, you know, I was in the healthcare space for a little bit. And now I thought I was going to be in tech for the rest of my life. And now I'm doing something completely opposite. And, you know, at some point, maybe we'll build some tech around this. Like I do see kind of some problems that can be solved. But we've built a pretty cool solution. We have a really great process and, you know, we're helping a lot of business owners. And the most important thing is we're changing lives, in the global talent pool. And so, we start with virtual assistants, but now we're focused on virtual talent. We can fill, many different roles and help support the management and set those folks up for success and give them something stable.
Corey, it sounds to me like, just for the audience here, you know, your story is very interesting. And you know, not knowing an industry and starting a company in it, it sounds like it's a feature, not a bug, to be honest. I mean, when you look at 5 times doing this, you start from something. It's not like you're an expert in it, in a specific industry. You just think from an entrepreneurial perspective, I see a possibility here. Knowledge can come along as I get into it. You know, after 5 companies and 2 exits, do you actually believe that feature is one of those, that not knowing the industry is a feature in your DNA, if you want to call it that, as a business
Maybe.
Person?
Maybe. I think, you know, to look
Have
at...
Have you reflected on that in the past?
Oh, of course. That's all I do. Like, it's my life is reflection. It's one of my, you know, the things that I hold very close to my heart, to always reflect. But, you know, the more I think about it and the more reflection out there. You know, for me, the reflecting piece and this, you know, the starting businesses with limited knowledge, it's a little easier for me maybe. And I think, you know, there are certain things that we are natural at and it's important to find those things. But, you know, the reality is in today's world, with all the tools that are available to us, it's never been easier to learn, right? So that driveway repair business that I had, I saw some folks doing it. I signed up for an odd job and saw them doing it. And then I watched some YouTube videos, right, on how to do it. That information's available. You know, today with Claude and ChatGPT and all the other LLMs, if you know and ask the right questions, you can learn how to do some pretty amazing stuff. So, you know, maybe parts of it, you know, that the mindset of like, I just want to solve this problem came natural to me. But mm-hmm. I think the reality is the information we need to solve problems, it's there if we know the right questions to ask and we can learn to do something. Now, maybe the solution isn't going to be there. And that's where the creativity comes from being an entrepreneur. But to learn how to do something, to learn how to run a business, a lot of it's trial and error. Yeah. But, you know, understanding an industry, a lot of that information exists.
Yeah. Now, from, you know, an entrepreneurial perspective, just the philosophy itself, being an entrepreneur, being independent, you like an idea, you build something around that idea to deliver a service. Sometimes you get attached to this idea, but you've done, you know, two exits and two times you had to let something go that you've built. How does that feel for you? I mean, you've built it, you've sold it, it's off now. You must have been attached at some point. The detachment, did that bother you?
I mean, look, it's always hard, right? And my first business, we're working on it for 6 years. You get to a point where you realize, I mean, you have to ask yourself, am I the right person to take this forward? You know, do I want to see this adding value? And I'd hope most folks are building something to create value, right? Mm-hmm. And there are different levels that individuals can take it, especially when you're learning and just starting out, right? It's being real with ourselves. So yeah, it was hard, but I think, you know, and then the second time it made sense to go and pursue other avenues and to leave it in the hands of my co-founder. You know, the hardest thing as an entrepreneur is to make decisions, but the right decisions in terms of what is best for the company, because the company is not you, right? When you set up a company, it's its own organism, right? When you incorporate, you are creating your own entity. And I think that's the biggest struggle for a lot of entrepreneurs. It's separating themselves from the business. The business has to have its own thoughts. It needs to act in certain ways. It has its own values. And so for me, with those two businesses that I exited, yes, it's very hard, but they were never me. It was a part of my life. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you have an opportunity to learn and to grow. Right. And for me, when I've exited, there were a lot of things that I wanted to pursue and work on. And so I was able to separate and let go. And I left them in the right hands to keep growing. And as a business owner, that's, I think, the most important thing, that
you've achieved your goal.
They continue to add value. Obviously, you know, financially, folks want there to be some financial incentive. I get that. And that makes sense. And, you know, in one of those cases, it allowed me to continue pursuing entrepreneurship and build the next thing. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. But yeah, it's, I think, you know, as an entrepreneur,
I'm listening to you and I'm shaking my head because in the localization industry where we are, where I work, there's about 19,000 companies in the industry in total. You know, the number fluctuates up and down globally. I want to say 80-20 rules in this industry. 80% of them are small entrepreneurs, small individuals who are generally linguists. They decided to open a company and start something. And they become, the general feeling you get is what you just described. They become very attached to the business themselves. They become the business, not an incorporation, not a corporation, basically. It's them. If it's not them, there is no business. And that's very mature attitude to look at from where your perspective, from what you just said. You know, I'm not the company I am. You know, it's part of my life. I invested a lot of time in it. But at the end of the day, you come to a realization that maybe it's better being with somebody else's hand. I brought it to where it is right now, maybe plugging it into somebody else's either company or, you know, selling it to somebody else. It takes it to the next level. And you've seen this in the larger corporations. We've seen Bill Gates move along and move on and, you know, takes it over from there. Microsoft, I'm talking about, and many companies that the idea person has stepped aside and in one way or another, either by selling the company or exiting or just taking a different job in the company, but get somebody else to take it to the next level. You know, that's lesson number one in entrepreneurship, in my opinion, and admirable to hear that from you, because not many people realize this, even at early stage of their entrepreneurship journey. They still, in your case, you did, but some people, they go through, I don't know, their life trying to figure this out. So
yeah, I just want to mention you. Yeah, I think there's different types of businesses, right? There's businesses, you know, when you're building a venture-backed business, you're building it to live on. You're building it to exit because you need to bring an exit for folks. Then there are businesses that are one-person businesses. Now, you know, the question you need to ask yourself is, do you want to exit this business? Like, do you want to build something that you can sell, or is it just a lifestyle business? And there is no wrong answer. You do what makes sense for you. So, you know, sometimes when it is a single individual, it's a lot harder to not feel like the business is you. So there is a different mindset to it. And so I'm talking about a venture-backed business, but, you know, there are still ways that you don't need to be doing everything. It just, when you go and you're starting a business, you need to ask yourself, what do you want? Do you want something that lives without you, or do you want something that relies on you? And that's more of a lifestyle business. And that's cool. Yeah. There's no right or wrong.
Okay. Corey, let's talk a little bit about Blue Mosso. You know, walk me through, if you don't mind, for the audience who don't know. And I'm sure after this episode gets aired, probably a lot of people are going to be checking out Blue Mosso. But for those who are no knowledge of the company, first time hearing about it, what does a new client, you know, when a new client comes through the door, what does that matching the process look like before a virtual assistant ever sends their first email to someone on someone's behalf?
Yeah, you know, the reality is, I know there are a lot of business owners and founders that feel like they have no time, or that they have to do everything, that everything's on them, that the weight of the world's on them. And, you know, for us, we work with those individuals to give them their time back so they can focus on building the business or a life outside of it. When those individuals come through the door, right, you know, some of them have worked with a virtual assistant in the past and just have not had a great experience, or they've never worked with one in the past. And they don't know how to manage them. It's just managing people is new. And, you know, a lot of solopreneurs, it's just them, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so much that they need to do. So managing another person, it's a completely different role and a completely different job, and it takes effort. So when these individuals come to us, what we're looking to do, right, is if we are going to connect them to some virtual talent, we start with, what role are they looking to fill, right? What are they looking to accomplish? What are the outcomes? That's probably the most important thing, getting clear on that, defining that early on. So we know, what are the parameters, like, what is the box that this person's going to play in? So we can actually make sure we're getting things done. First thing. The next thing we need to ask is, okay, what are the skill sets that we need for this individual? Skill is super, super important. It is. I'm not going to pretend it is, but there's things that are more important, right? You can have the most skilled individual in the world and bring them on paper, they check all the boxes. But if they don't have the communication style you need, the personality type you need, or the work style that works well with you, it doesn't matter what skills this person has. They're probably not going to succeed with you. And so when we are doing this matching, this is what I was telling you about, you know, we've built out a pretty cool process that we could build some software around, and we've started to play around with that. You know, you get the right match. So everything comes down to the right match, the right fit. And that's what we aim to do. If we can do this, then we can really focus on giving an individual back their time, right? The only way you get your time back is the person that you're working with, you trust them, right? And they have the resources in place and they're set up to succeed, because bringing on a virtual assistant, that person needs to be set up to succeed. It's not just, here, take this all and solve this problem for me. It's like, we really need to have a system in place to allow them to succeed and to allow you to succeed with them.
Is Corey, is there a profile matching? When we talk about profile matching here, are you diagnosing the profile of your customer? And you're diagnosing the profile of the VA. Is that a manual process, or how do you do the diagnostics? Are you collecting data on these people?
Yeah, so we collect data. We have an assessment. We also do interviews with the virtual assistants, and we do different tests and trials with them. But we were able to build out some very rudimentary tools. You know, we do have some software that we've built out on our end. It's nothing fancy, but, you know, it's built out on our process that can analyze a lot of this data for us. So mm-hmm. that allows us to perfect the match. It helps us do shortlisting. So yeah, we have internal tools that we've built out, proprietary. So, you know, we'll build more around that, but it allows us to really assess what a good fit looks like.
And for the audience, what we are talking about here, it is not an AI virtual assistant here. We're talking human to human.
Yes. Now, our virtual assistants that we work with, they are AI enabled. We call them the humans in the loop. Like, we're not going to ignore the fact that the world's changing, that AI is a big part of it. But, you know, what we believe is the virtual assistants are going to be the ones managing the systems, managing the AI employees, managing the AI tools that are built out. And that's what we look at. That's part of our assessment criteria that we actually look at. I can't hear you.
You're publicly committed to helping 1 million business leader or business person take back their life by using virtual assistants. What number are you at now?
You know, well over 100 at this point. But, you know, I think the other thing is when I say that number, like, you know, the other thing I do is I speak to individuals every day, and I also put out a lot of content. So when that mission is related to the content that I put out, and I can't measure that at this point, but, you know, can I add value? Can I help business owners succeed? And it's not just about working with them necessarily. It's about providing business owners with the resources they need to take back their time. You know,
is there any success stories there, Corey? Like people like coming back to you and saying, "Hey, I've used your services. I've used your virtual assistant, and you saved me X amount of time, or you made my life a little easier." What was the reaction so far?
Yeah, our whole business is based off of referrals. So, you know, we don't do any marketing. That signifies to me that, you know, we are adding value, that folks are willing to introduce us to people in their network because they trust us. In terms of time, you know, we have clients that hand over a variety of different tasks. We have some case studies that we've published on this, but, you know, when you bring on a virtual assistant for 4 hours a day, for example, that's over 1,000 hours back a year that you get to focus on building the business. And we have a lot of folks that have brought on, you know, folks full-time, part-time, and that's meaningful time back. You know, there are a lot of tasks like social media management, operations management, dealing with clients, customer success, and we are supporting that. We're doing a variety of different things. Heck, I look at my business, it's run by my team. You know, I can take a vacation. I have a lot of clients that, you know, were unable to take a vacation before they had a virtual assistant because they had to be running the business 24/7. And they brought on someone they trust. Now they can take a week off without the business falling apart. They can take a sick day.
Yeah, you can take sick day. You can take a sick day. Let's do a bit of a deep dive into the operator mindset. I guess this is where this is next conversation is going, Corey. I'm just prepping you up here. You've worked across sales, ops, and product inside your own companies. When you're building an operation and focused business like Blue Mosa, for instance, which of those disciplines you feel like you default to? I know we all have multitasking in our mind and we can do many things, but which one do you feel like you default to?
Yeah, so I have ADHD. I need to build out systems. That's kind of how this started. It's like building out systems. You know, I don't have a specific framework that I follow, but what I make sure is that everything's documented. Things are clearly defined. There's clear instructions. So one, we rely on documentation. That's super important. You know, I make sure that we have our project management systems in place. So we're documenting important tasks. You know, the other thing is with the team, we're teaching them about defining the you know, the tasks that, you know, are they urgent? Are they important? You know, like high, medium, low, right? And assigning a deadline and a due date to everything, right? I think that's the most important thing. And I've trained my team this. If I come to them with a task, the next question I want to hear from them is, when do you need this by, right? So we don't have any fancy, you know, operational frameworks in place, but we've built a pretty fancy operating system in terms of clear roles and responsibilities. We have different individuals on our executive team that are responsible for a variety of different tasks. Someone is only responsible for client success and dealing with the clients. The other person's responsible for dealing with the VAs in our talent pool. Another person is responsible for recruiting and sourcing. So clear roles and responsibilities is another thing that I really promote with the team as well. So documentation, clear instructions, really defining the tasks that we have to do, defining the urgency level, and then assigning a deadline to everything, and then clear roles and responsibilities and clear ownership of things.
And your company, Blumoso, right now, is it, do you consider like in a physical location, or you guys are virtual, obviously, and by the name virtual assistant, but you probably distributed around the world, but is there an office, or do you just work virtually everywhere?
My business partner is in the Philippines. She was my first VA. Amazing, amazing woman, Shaw Romero. And I'm in Mexico. We have clients all over the world. It's really cool what you can build in today's, business ecosystem. And that's why, you know, in my mind, there's such a need for outsourcing. That's why we're in this space, because you can build a business from anywhere. You can have clients from anywhere and you can still succeed.
That's right. And I've interviewed people like on this podcast who are in the outsourcing. I would call it an outsourcing business, as you are. And they seem to do it at scale. Have you done that at scale yet, or are you getting there?
Yeah, we've been doing this for like a year, really.
Oh, okay.
So it's grown pretty quickly. So we're just in the process. Like, you know, every business, you're always learning and growing. We've, in my mind, we've perfected the model now. And so we're in that point.
Now you're
scaling.
Ready, probably, right?
Yeah, we scaled something before, like focused on like task work. But, you know, we learned quickly. It's harder. It wasn't the right model. And now we have a model that is ripe for scale. We have the systems in place, ripe for scale. We have the team in place, ripe for scale. So we're ready. Business has grown quickly. Our talent pool has grown pretty quickly. And now, you know, you just want to keep fueling that. It's all bootstrapped. So we're funding growth internally.
Because I've heard a lot of companies, I've heard a lot of companies, not just individual. I'm assuming you work one on one, basically, with your customers, right? So not doing, a large organization wants to outsource, say, 100 VA in their corporate umbrella, for instance. Are you not there yet? I'm assuming, but you're doing business one on one with individuals. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So we work with solopreneurs and founders and small businesses. You know, obviously the goal is we want to go up market fill, placements for businesses. But, you know, we're really focused on who we serve right now. We target solopreneurs and small to medium businesses, startups.
I heard there was a company here in Canada. What was it? Last year. And they had, I think, about 200 admin assistants. And, you know, they take different titles, obviously, in this world. And they outsourced all of them to Argentina, I believe.
Oh, cool.
This is what I'm referring to, because sometimes there is a large organizations, they decide, one category specifically to what you do. It is not needed to be inside the company, and they decide to take it outside the organization. Maybe there are something there that you probably can play a role in. And if you want me to introduce you to a few people now that we're connected on LinkedIn, let me know if you see something that interests you. I'd be happy to do that.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, for us, look, my vision as a founder, our goal is to like bring the vision. And so for me, we're starting with folks in the Philippines, but ideally, I really do want to expand globally. I want to bring meaningful and fulfilling work to folks across the globe. They have the skill, they have the talent, and we'll get there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and we want to work with really good companies. But I know we have to start small, and so we have two. We're focused on back office positions and front office positions. But we'll get there. We'll get there. We have some really good people on the.
So I have a question for you. I don't know if you can answer that for me. Answer it for me. Is that I just did a podcast with a gentleman out of Australia. 2-3 weeks ago, and he specialized in talent recruitment and identification recruitment in Africa. So the question would be: is are you hard set on the Philippine? Why the Philippine? And can you expand beyond that?
Yeah, business is all about trust. Okay, so my first virtual assistant became my business partner, and she lives in the Philippines, so it makes it easier to understand the culture. Because to pretend that culture doesn't play a role in business would be, in my mind, I would think ignorant. So that makes it easy. I have someone I trust that owns that part of the business, and that's clear her role. I ideally would like to expand into Africa, Pakistan, India, South America. That is the goal. I don't want to be limited by geography. But right now, we're just really focused. And you know, over time, we will expand and be able to support folks and bring meaningful work to folks in different geographies. We just got to take it one day at a time. Rome wasn't built in a day, so we're working to build Rome without the collapse. And you know, we will plan to we plan to get there.
You know, we used to say Rome wasn't built in one day until I saw the first large construction project out of China. It sounds like they can build Rome in one day nowadays in China. But I don't know, but it seems like they're very modern construction tools to defeat that whole Rome wasn't built in one day theory. But nevertheless, you have 70,000 followers on social media. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you.
And it's real asset when you're trying to build something or you're in business of any sort nowadays to have that out there, right? You know, for you, is it, do you use social media for content, lead gen, or something else completely?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of the above, but this is a whole philosophical thing, right? Like, what is the purpose behind it? And there's many different things, many different strategies. For me, I put out content there because I enjoy it. That's the truth. Like, it helps me build my confidence. It helps me be a better leader. It helps reinforce my beliefs, because if I write it there, it's out in the world and I make it happen. Or it's just like, this is what I believe. Now, the reality is with social media, whether you're even just selling directly through it or not, you know, that social proof does matter to others. We can pretend it doesn't, but you know, the number of followers, people notice it. And you know, the first thing people do, first thing I do at least, maybe not everyone, but the first thing I do when I'm meeting with someone is I check their LinkedIn, I check their Instagram. I want to see who they're connected to, who they know, and what they put out into this world. So, you know, I might not directly sell through my content and say, click this link, here's my offer, but I do know when I get onto calls, people already know who I am. It makes it a lot easier to sell. So yeah, social media does play a big part in my sales strategy. I just am not one of those individuals that uses it all the time to be like, buy my product. Mm-hmm. I'm like, meet me. I'm Corey, and this is what I'm doing. This is what I believe. And if you want to work with me, that's great. Contact me. Let's have a real great conversation and see where that goes.
Absolutely. And that's why, like, I do personally, I do this podcast, because it feels like, to me, like this is a natural progression of what I did in the past. It wasn't really a tough thing for me to do, to start a podcast, because you're always talking to people, you're always meeting with people, and it wasn't something I had to really make an effort into. It. I enjoy doing it. It's not something nobody pays me to do this. It's just me volunteering to have conversation with people, which is passion of mine. So really, I'm not doing anything extra from an effort perspective here. So I really enjoy, like yourself, I really enjoy the content. We just passed 300,000 downloads since November.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Last year. And we're now averaging close to 2,000 downloads a day. I never thought we'll get to 2,000 downloads a day on this podcast, but I really appreciate all the effort that everybody puts into it, specifically the guests. I mean, nobody shows up to these things, you know, hey, Robin, let's have a conversation. I'm sure there's some preps that takes place here. So
yeah, no, I know how much work goes into this stuff. I work with folks every single day. It's not easy, and putting yourself out there isn't easy, right? You're opening yourself up to a lot of criticism, right? Funny. I told you how I end the call. I won't ruin that surprise. But you know, I do that every single day on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and people make fun of me for it, like my friends. But you know, like the truth is, I think there's nothing more important in today's business world than putting yourself out there. Like, we are all, whether we want to admit it or not, right? Like, I wouldn't, if you were to ask me, am I a content creator? Am I an influencer? I'd say no, but I'm a business owner, and therefore I am a content creator, whether I like to admit it or not. So I'm going all in on creating content because of that. I have to put myself out there for my business to succeed, whether I'm a one-person business or, you know, a corporation. You look, you know, the example, ClickUp. Have you heard of ClickUp?
Yes.
They are a task management, project management software. They came into a really competitive space. There were incumbents in that space, and they weren't that old, those incumbents, but they came in, and their strategy was content. They used content to get into a competitive space. And, you know, the reality is, what you're doing is great, because, you know, if you think about it, there are a lot of folks that might not have the best product out there, but they're putting out content and making people believe in them, making people trust them. And that's what content does. You build trust. So it's like, if you're not creating content, if you're not doing the things that you're going to do, that you're doing, if you're not getting those downloads, you might lose out to someone that's willing to do that, that doesn't have the product that you have, the service that you have. So I give you a lot of credit for doing it because it's not hard, but it's vital in today's world.
100%. And you know what? You touch on a very important topic we talk about all the time is trust nowadays is a hard currency, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fakes out there. And, you know, everybody who is trying to find their voice or, you know, put their stake in the ground on any idea, on any business type, the only way you can do this nowadays, and I have a couple of conversations coming up here in the short term where we talk a lot about this, is you have to differentiate yourself. You can't send in mails anymore or LinkedIn direct messages. People are not answering it. People are not answering their phones. You call people, they think it's a spam. It's this crazy world out there. And before you announce yourself, you either have been introduced or nobody's answering you. And the only way you're going to be pre-introduced to any conversation is by creating something authentic out there.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like when someone calls my phone, I'm like, how did you get my number? I don't give my number to anyone. Well, even and it's I'm writing an article on this that's coming out tomorrow, like trust. That's what it's on. Trust is business is just one giant trust fall. That's the title of the article. And you know, everything we're doing, everything that it takes to grow a business is about earning trust, whether you're creating content, whether you're on a sales call, whether you're looking for referrals. Like the quickest way for us to build trust, right? That like that's what we need to figure out. Because trust, again, trust isn't built over a day. It takes a lot of time, but you can lose it very quickly. So what we need to figure out is what can we do to build trust to the largest number of people in our ICP, and how can we do that quickly? That's where content comes into play for me. That's why I do so much of it.
No, you've raised nearly $5 million across your companies. Is Blue Mosso venture-backed or is it bootstrapped or something in between? Or does it matter how a company is funded?
Yeah, so... So for us, I've made a conscious effort to bootstrap this. You know, the money that we earn, I make sure everyone gets paid, and then I put that back in the business. So it's bootstrapped. And for me, that's kind of the direction that I want to go right now. And we're growing. We're growing. Bootstrapped.
Hey, Corey, was that a choice or circumstance?
Choice. I haven't tried to raise capital, you know, like to me, I think that it's important to maintain the growth and the culture that we have, that we focus on growing the way that we're growing now. Now, maybe that changes in the future, but, you know, we don't need capital outside.
I know you come from Canada and you're living south now, south of the continent. I want to ask you the language question. So, I'm assuming your VAs work probably cross client profiles, cross time zones, cross languages. From a cultural perspective, how do you address the language side?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the majority of our clients, when we talked about the right match before, it comes down to also the requirements. So if a person needs an individual to speak a different language, that's what we have to ensure happens. Now, because we're primarily in English right now, again, it's just focused. In the future, we can do more, but right now we needed to focus on English as our primary language. We make sure that every individual that we're working with has the level of English that is necessary to succeed in the role. But it would be the same for other languages. We would ensure that an individual has the capability to support their client in the language that is required.
Now, Corey, you mentioned earlier that AI is being used and human in the loop. I guess you refer to your services from a VA perspective. But nobody can deny that AI tools are getting better and good every day. It's one of those non-static kind of technology. It keeps evolving. Where do you see this thing going?
Yeah, you know, I think with AI, like, we're not going to ignore that AI is there. I think AI is great. It improves a lot of workflows. I think that it also gets rid of the work humans don't want to be doing. Nobody wants to be copying and pasting. Nobody wants to be doing repetitive, mindless work. There's no fulfillment in that. So I think it gives people an opportunity to do more, right? I also think that it's opening up the global talent pool. You know, people are looking towards outsourcing as an option now, because you can give an individual, you know, wherever they're located, a tool, and they have the skill set, they have the ability to run them for you. And, you know, the cost of living is lower in certain areas, right? But, you know, I think AI, you know, people say AI might disrupt this market. I think that AI is opening up this market. It's creating a need for folks to outsource, to run these tools, to support these tools, because they can do more, right? That's mm-hmm. also the other thing. Like, if your capacity goes up, there's more work to be done, right?
Yeah.
If you can work faster, you can take on more clients. People still crave the human experience. You know, I do think that there's kind of a lot of hype surrounding AI right now, and it's real hype, but like hype that, you know, it's going to replace humans. But that's just hype. You know, once we start noticing the patterns, people start craving human experiences. So I think there are rules like customer success, client success. We are going to crave real life customer success, client success, because nobody wants to talk to a bot. It frustrates me every time. It's just like the first thing I say when I get onto one of these systems is, give me the human, please. The bot's not solving my problem. It's frustrating me. So yeah, it really depends. But, you know, I'm not worried. I'm actually very optimistic, because I think that AI opens up the global market, because this is a tool for folks to use. It's a tool. It's not a replacement. And we couldn't allow it to be a replacement.
How do you ensure quality protection in terms of preventing, for instance, client burnouts from bad matches? And did that happen? Have you seen this before?
Yeah, this is the value add where we come in, right? Like, a lot of clients don't know what to look for. They don't know who to look for the red flags, and it's hard for them to make a decision if someone's not the right fit. So yeah, we've seen it a lot, and we come in there and we help support the client to find an individual that is better suited to support them.
And do you do performance monitoring, Corey, throughout the process?
Yeah, you know, we're on top of it. We're checking in. You know, every client that we work with gets a team lead. They get access to our executive team. The team lead is there helping manage and setting the virtual talent up for success, and checking in on them, helping them project management. So in doing that, we're able to do that. We also collect feedback every month about the individual with the client, so we can understand if this is still the right fit. But we also know the red flags to look for. So if we notice any of these red flags, we'll go to a client and we'll let them know, hey, I don't know if you're noticing this, but this person might not be the right fit. Now you have a couple of options. You can stick with them and see if they improve, or we can start looking for a replacement. And that's okay if you want a replacement. So yeah, we give them options.
Yeah, I do personally, and just sharing this on a personal level, I do have a virtual assistant, and she is in Philippines as well. So I've been working with her for, I don't know, 3-4 years now, more than
that. Wow.
And she handles many tasks for me. Obviously, I use everything from AI to virtual assistant. You got a lot of things on the go. I am running a podcast, but I also am the founder and CEO of a company called America Sales and Marketing. And I operate in under N49 networks, providing fractional, I want to call it C-level support to small to medium businesses, from fractional managing directors that are fractional CEO or fractional CRO, depends on what these small companies requires. And so there's a lot of many, many moving pieces that I need to handle. There's no way, human possible way for me to handle all of it. So I really appreciate Sylvia's work. Shout out to Sylvia.
And, hey, Sylvia.
She's located in the Philippines. Great, great, great person to work with. I've been so lucky to have her on my team for so many years. So now, from my perspective, I guess the question becomes, from your experience, how can something like this help not just me, many people like me in the space?
Yeah, you know, the reality is our time is limited. We don't get it back. And so I do believe in putting in the hours when it comes to business. I think it's important, but I think it's important to determine what is it that you need to be spending your time doing versus what is it that you can have someone else supporting you with, right? You've made a conscious decision and you've realized you can't do everything. It sounds like you do a lot. You have a podcast, you have your business, you create content. And I'm assuming you've determined like these things are important, but they don't need me doing them. And you know, when it comes to working with business owners, our goal is to give them their time back so they can focus on growing the business or life outside of it, because that is just as important. To grow the business, you do need to feel fulfilled. You do need to enjoy the fruits of your labor. So that's how we're helping folks.
Corey, you know, I think for those people who are listening to this, say, I'm interested in this, but, you know, how do I trust somebody to come into my business, know everything about me, and really let them in. So it's a psychological thing, right? So we talked about trust earlier. So how do you, from your, if you're talking to a prospective customer, how do you convince them to let go of all this fear and get somebody into their network and their world and help them out?
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, to be completely honest, you have to be ready. You have to know you want this, and you have to be willing to set someone up for success. Now, how do we get them ready? Well, it comes down to the right match. And what I'd say to them is, you're not handing off everything to start. Especially if you're someone that is skeptical, think small. What is the smallest thing that you can hand off that you feel like you don't need to be doing? It takes a while for a person to get you, right? They're not just going to understand you overnight. Now, the right individual is going to come to you with the right questions. They're going to be the right fit for you. They're going to have the right personality type, the work style, communication style. That alone will help disarm you. You know, for example, I had a client this week come to us and said, he was like, I love this VA. And you know what the VA said to him? It's like, it sounds like you need someone to mother you, like, and to like call you out for your, and she said this to him. And he was like, this is exactly what I needed to hear. I needed someone to push up against me. We knew this about this individual based on his personality type, but the VA did that. And in these small little moments, they build trust. You know, we have other VAs that work with clients that are very sentimental, very family oriented, right? And they're sending pictures of what they're doing on the weekend. Like, it's these small little moments of building trust, right? That's the other thing. It's like, how do you build trust? How do you connect with your client? So when you focus on the right personality type, communication style, work style, you can build that trust. Like, trust isn't always just coming down to getting the work done. Important. It's important, but it's also, you know, connecting with a person on the same, like, vibrations.
It sounds like you built a methodology for trust and you pass it along to your VAs. Did I get that right?
Hey, we're trying every single day. We're getting better and better and better at it. But yeah, you know, our model is proving to work and really help business owners find the right fit, someone that they can trust. We can't guarantee trust, but we are going to do everything in our power to help build that trust. And
nobody can walk off the side of the street and say, hey, man, trust me. And that's not going to work. You know, I've always used this. I mean, trust is earned a lot in a lot of cases. I mean, some people trust right from the get-go, but, you know, there are so many bad stories out there. I suggest not to. But you need to, you may want to experiment with the trust a little bit to develop a trust. But you're right. It takes a bit of an effort on both sides to develop the trust. You want to be a willing customer to develop a trust, and you want to be I'm assuming your VAs need to allow for that trust to develop using their own action.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, it's great that we're having this conversation, because this is what my blog tomorrow is going to be on. Trust is earned, and trust is a huge part of this. Right. And, you know, I think for the right virtual talent, they understand this. And that's, you know what, when people have failed, and it happens occasionally, it's that they weren't focused on the trust. They were focused on the wrong things. I understand that, you know, there's reasons why people are doing that, but trust goes both ways, right? The VA is earning the trust of the client. The client's earning the trust of the VA. Because, you know what, to be honest, a lot of virtual assistants have been screwed over. It's hard for them to trust folks in other countries because people have not paid them. People have treated them poorly. You know, they're used to this. And that's why, you know, like, I feel
unfortunately,
so
that's the freelance
space.
World, Corey. Yeah. It's very, and a pandemic now in terms of how people are being treated. They hire these individuals. It doesn't matter what the skills are. But there is a sort of like a pattern in mistreating these freelancers, because out of sight, out of mind. You know, if you're hiring somebody next door to you in the same city or in the same town, they can drive up to your office and say, demand things. But if they are in a different country, that leaves a little bit of a freedom to how people are treated. And I think, this is me thinking out loud here with you on the podcast, I think we should have another metric. How does the VA or the freelancer community in general think about somebody who is not paying them correctly, or discounting their invoices, or not paying them at all in a lot of cases, or mistreating them in some cases?
I
this is not something we should, I think we should loudly speak against, to be honest with you, because these people deserve respect because they're doing a good job. They're doing a job. You agreed to get a job done. You agreed on a price with these as customers, and we should pay these people.
Yeah, we're going to change that. That's why, like, what compels me to this space. It's like, I've seen it. I've had people not pay. People blame the VAs and saying, well, I don't want to pay for this. It's like, excuse me. Like, it's not like that. These are people. They have families. Like, you don't just get to say, I don't feel like paying them, right? You would hate if someone did that to you. Like, come on, be fair.
What would you be your reaction?
Yeah, so we're changing that. That's my goal. We want to bring equal opportunity to the global talent pool. We know we can do better. I know I can do better. It's not perfect right now, but it's getting better. We're learning and we're building something. Like, it's, as I said, Rome's not built in a day, so we need to take it step by step. We know where we want to take this business. We know the model we want to have. We know we want to give the talent more, and we will. It's just a matter of time.
I have a couple more rapid questions for you. If a business owner listening right now to this conversation, and just maybe they are at a moment where just before they finally decide to get help, what is the one thing you want them to hear from you today that would probably tilt that decision to get help?
Yeah, you know, if you feel like, there's a couple things that I think about, right? When it comes to, when is it ready? You struggle to, like, you feel like you can't take a sick day. Like, if you were to be sick, everything would fall apart, okay? If you feel like you couldn't go away on a vacation for one week and things would fall apart, right? That is a sign in my mind. Like, ask yourself, could you take a vacation tomorrow? Would things fall apart? Do you feel like you need to be included for everything? Now, that's someone that needs some massaging, right? Like, if you feel like you need to be involved and you keep hearing like, oh, it's like, I can do this better. I need to be in, like, why am I still doing everything? Yeah, we need to work with that person and help improve them. But the question I'm really leaning into today, could you take a sick day tomorrow? Would things still run without you? Could you take a vacation? Would things still run without you? Those are the people that we want to come and help, that we want to support, because we want them. You built a business for freedom, not for it to be a jail, right? The business is not a jail. It is, it's a freedom. I feel so fulfilled that I get to work on a business every single day. I love it. It's a privilege, but I also know that I need to be able to walk away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Where can people find you and learn more about Blumoso and figure out whether this is the right fit for them?
Yeah, so first place, if you're looking for virtual talent or virtual assistant, our website, blumoso.com, BLUEMOSO.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM there. You can find me on Substack. You can have a newsletter there, Taking My Time Back. I'm also on Instagram, so come find me there. I'm always happy to answer any questions. Look, if you come reach out to me, I'm not going to try to sell you. If you have real honest questions, I'm going to try to deliver as much value as I can. So I'm happy to answer it. It's not going to turn into a sales call. Just want to reach a million business owners and give their time back. Like, that's what it's about.
Absolutely. Great. And as we come to an end for our conversation, is there anything else that you'd like to add, Corey, that we have not yet addressed?
No, that's it. It's, you know, I told you how I end a call. So once we get there, that's the one thing we need to address.
We'll do a little bit of a wrap up here, and we'll do the close, you and I. So absolutely. And for the audience, I want to thank you so much for joining me and Corey on recording episode 268. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for listening in. If you're coming on our podcast channel, thanks for listening in. If you're coming on our YouTube channel, thanks for watching us. And also, I noticed lately that you guys like the blog where I summarize all these conversations and put them in an archival form. And speaking of Substack, I'm also on a Substack. The blog post is integrated with Substack. So anything I post on my website, it goes into Substack as well. So the blog post is robinayoub.blog, where you can discover all these conversations that we've had since the launch of the podcast 2-3 years ago. Again, thanks so much. And Corey, should we close it?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
All right, buddy.
I always do the end every call. Boom.
I like that. Thank you so much, Corey. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the audience. And see you guys at the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
See everyone. Thank you.